I think with this children's book, picture book, I can reach two generations with one book.
I'm excited for listeners to hear some of the more upbeat, raunchy poems.
My father was a voice actor, and I have never done anything like this, but I've always wanted to step into those shoes in some capacity.
Welcome to This is the Author, where authors talk about narrating their audiobooks.
In this episode, meet actor George Takei, best-selling writer Layla Motley, and neuroscientist-turned-environmental journalist Clayton Page Aldern. Listen in as these authors share powerful histories and coming-of-age stories, from George Takei's childhood experience in a U.S. internment camp during World War II, to Layla Motley's poems of becoming, to Clayton Page Aldern's exploration of the surprising intersection between physical health and climate change. Enjoy.
Hi, this is George Takei, the author of My Lost Freedom, a Japanese-American World War II story. I decided to write this book because that was 2022 when COVID struck and we were all in quarantine and everything I had on the calendar was postponed or canceled. And I had all this blank calendar pages. And so I decided I'm going to write a book about my childhood imprisonment. It's an important part of American history that people don't know about. And I think with this children's book, picture book, I can reach two generations with one book because Daddy and Mommy will most likely be reading to their children. For one thing, the children will be introduced to this chapter of American history, and the parents' curiosity may be raised, and they may do a little research and learn a bit more about it. And so I decided to write this story told with words and picture, something that I, as a child, enjoyed. If I had to describe the audio recording in one word, I would say it was fun. One word, fun. I don't think I had any words I had difficulty pronouncing or knowing the meaning of because I wrote the book. I have included Japanese words and place names because I think that would also help a larger American community to hear the authentic pronunciation. For example, we often hear Hiroshima for that first city in the history of the world that got bombed with an atomic bomb. It's pronounced very flat, Hiroshima, not this rhythmic Hiroshima. And so I pronounce my Japanese words authentically. Actually, I'm trilingual. I speak English and Japanese and some Spanish as well, because of my childhood years in East L.A., an all-Mexican-American neighborhood. My favorite section to record was remembering my little friend down the street, Donald. I don't think I ever knew his last name. This was before the soldiers took us away. He came over and played at my house, or sometimes my mother took me over to his house and played. And I have really good memories. I cherish those memories. He was a fun kid to play with. If those childish friendships can grow up to be adult friendships, that would be a wonderful world. In some respects, my colleagues, fellow actors from the cast of Star Trek, became that kind of friendships of trust and sharing that I enjoyed with my little friend, Donald. You know, the people here are all so well prepared. My husband, Brad, brought cushions for me. But here they were, already provided for us. The preparation here was wonderful, but we came prepared as well. And we didn't have to have all the stuff that Brad brought in that big, capacious bag of his. If I weren't going to read my own book, my favorite voice and mind to record my children's book is Harry Melber. He is a sharp guy, informed guy, and a very decent guy, but also has a wonderful voice and a youthful voice compared to my very lived-in voice. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. When Japan attacked Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, my world turned horribly upside down. I am a Japanese American. My grandparents and my father came to America from Japan. My father spoke both English and Japanese fluently. He was American in every way except for his birthplace.
Hi, my name is Layla Motley, the author of Woke Up, No Light. Woke Up, No Light is a collection of poems that spans a range of themes from girlhood to womanhood and really encompasses a lot about what it means to grow and repair and exist in a world that is falling apart. And I wrote it because I wanted to really encompass the experience of growing into adulthood in this period of time and what it means to kind of have hope in a world that can at times feel very hopeless. If I had to describe recording my audiobook in one word, it would be new. This is just a totally new experience for me. I've never recorded my audiobook before, and I used to perform a lot of poetry, so I think getting to do it in such an enclosed space and not in front of an audience is such a new and exciting experience for me. I realized I did not know how to pronounce the font that my book is written in. I'm excited for listeners to hear some of the more upbeat, raunchy poems. I think that they really come alive through the recording. To prepare for my audiobook, I read through the collection. I hadn't read it in a couple months since I sent off the last draft, so it was fun to get to revisit it in preparation for recording the audiobook. If I had to record the audiobook again, I probably would have brought, I don't know, maybe like a blanket, something cozy. You're there for a while in one chair, so I think I would have liked a blanket if I had to do it again. If I wasn't recording my audiobook, I would want either Mahogany L. Brown or Chinaka Hodge to record it. They're both incredible poets from Oakland and Black women, and I think they'd do a fantastic job. The last audiobook that I listened to all the way through was years ago, Becoming, Michelle Obama's memoir. Her voice is very soothing, and I think I listened to it on a road trip. Now listen to an excerpt from my audiobook, Woke Up, No Light. I am the only child nobody bothered to ask, what do you want to be? When you are the scale of a mountain and all your teeth have wobbled and fallen down your throat. If they had asked, I would have said, I be a boulder of obsidian. Be a winding road to the bottom of an ocean. Be the nap you wake from dizzy. A symphony sans sound. A fish afraid of drowning. A lemon tree in the desert.
Hi, this is Clayton Page Aldern, author of The Weight of Nature. I wrote this book because it seemed like there was just this enormous piece to the climate puzzle that we were potentially missing. We talk a lot about climate change and mental health, for example, but with a background in neuroscience, I began to wonder if there was something physical going on in the brain as well. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, that word would be fulfilling, because my father was a voice actor, and I have never done anything like this, but I think to a certain extent, and he died when I was a young child, I've always wanted to step into those shoes in some capacity. So maybe there's a little bit of familial cosplaying going on here, but I hope it is more of a tribute than anything. It was fulfilling in that manner. You know, I speak French, but I realized I had trouble pronouncing this French car company that comes up in the book, which I am still probably going to mispronounce. Is it Peugeot? That is my best shot. And I sincerely hope to the Francophone world that I haven't completely murdered it. Take refuge in some of the other pronunciations in the book. My favorite section to record was when we really started to get into the nitty-gritty of the science. This happens, for example, in chapter 4 when I'm discussing cyanobacteria blooms, and there's a lot of science in there in terms of the neurodegenerative impacts of the toxins that are released from these things, as well as just the evolution of the organisms themselves, cyanobacteria. I really loved thinking through both the pronunciation of the words in question, but also this grand arc of history that led us from basically the beginning of what Earth looked like to today. I was reasonably prepared for the audiobook recording because one of my drafting methods is to record myself reading chapters. I rarely can get through an entire chapter that I've written by reading it. I really have to listen back to the chapter as if it were a radio program. That's the kind of thing that allows me to edit on the fly and edit with respect to arc and sentence flow across a given paragraph, as opposed to really paying attention to individual words. And it turns out those recordings are more or less what I'm doing here, albeit, you know, with a cell phone and a windowless room as opposed to this lovely studio. I think if I had to record again, I would probably bring a larger bottle of ibuprofen with me into the studio, because I'm pretty prone to headaches, and I gotta tell you, talking for 6 or 8 hours a day is precisely the kind of thing that makes those headaches jump out of wherever they begin and right into the front of my forehead. So maybe more painkillers next time. If I wasn't gonna record my audiobook, who would I cast? I would cast Bruno Mars, because I don't want the James Earl Jones weighty delivery, the really deep lowering of the voice, you know, or the like movie phone approach, right? Like, I want a smooth lyrical reading, and I feel like maybe Bruno could do it. The last audiobook that I listened to that I loved was Stay and Fight by Madeline Fitch. I don't know if you're familiar with this book, but it's this wonderful fictional account of a really untraditional family in rural Appalachia that is just trying to make it work. And one of the interesting things about the audiobook is that it's almost a little bit like a radio drama, because each of the chapters are told from a different perspective. They're first-person narratives from the different characters in the book. And so there are many different voice actors in this book, and it was a real joy to listen to. My favorite place to listen to audiobooks is in the shower. I don't have much more to say on that front. It is just a beautifully calming environment. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. One of the first things Desiree Bagaleos told me was that she felt transparent. It's not that people were seeing through her, she explained, but that she was seeing through herself. For the last 10 years, I've been feeling like I don't fully exist, she wrote, like my feet are never firmly on the ground. It was a liminal existence, a floating and flickering, more suited to a ghost than to a living, breathing woman with a 6-year-old daughter to raise.
This is the Author is a production of Penguin Random House Audio. Thank you for listening.
For more behind-the-mic content and audiobook recommendations, Visit www.penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/nextlisten.